All right, I've said my piece about the politics we saw this past week with the Epstein files. Now let's widen the view with an examination of what this all means for not just the victims of Jeffrey Epstein, but really all victims of trafficking as well as abuse, who hope that someone is going to hear them and respond in a way that rescues and hopefully starts to heal them. To do that, we welcome policy and education manager with the organization World Without Exploitation, Dahlia Edidin-Locke. How are you today, Dahlia?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Well, good to have you here to, again, get away from the politics and get to the humanity side of this issue. Humanity, absolutely, which, as we saw at the hearing, is sorely lacking, but we do have hope. WorldWithoutExploitation.org. Learn more about Dahlia's organization, the work they do, and we'll get into some of that, too, along with their upcoming conference in June. I gave my review or response or analysis of Pam Bondi this past week. I want to give you equal time from your side of knowledge and awareness. What did you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was actually in the room of the hearing with the survivors just a few days ago, and it was pretty shocking and very frustrating, not only as an advocate for survivors of sex trafficking, but also to be there with the survivors and see how repeatedly disrespected they were by Attorney General Pam Bondi, who refused to turn around and look at them, to acknowledge them, despite congresspeople giving her multiple opportunities to do so. So I found the whole ordeal to be very disrespectful. She attempted to politicize the horrific experiences of the victims by making it an issue of challenging, you know, President Trump instead of prioritizing the humanity of the victims and the harm that was done to them. So it was very frustrating, but I think for the survivors, it actually brought them some clarity, right? So they could really understand what is going through Pam Bondi's head and why they are not receiving the appropriate attention that they deserve.
When I think of social media responses as any measurement, for all the hopes I'm sure that the Trump administration had of tampering down the heat or putting out the fire of the Epstein files, their total dropping of any kind of common sense and decency, it just escalated and poured gas on the fire. This isn't going away.
Absolutely, yeah. We've been seeing clips from Congresswoman Crockett, from Congresswoman Blunt, for example, and Goldman going absolutely viral as they were, you know, laying bare for the world to see how incompetent the Attorney General is and how little care she has for prioritizing justice for the survivors and accountability for the perpetrators.
And for you listening, I didn't have time to include this in the clips that we played before, but was going back further in time a few months ago. I think it was the late summer when a group of survivors were in front of the Capitol building trying to urge Congress to pass the Epstein File Act. And Donald Trump's response was, and I'm not paraphrasing, he called their cause a hoax, quote unquote.
That's right.
So it just shows what we're working with here. What is the importance? I mean, people might be thinking, and this is something I've done a lot of work with and talking here and work off the show too, but with victims of domestic violence, and people that don't understand say, well, just move on, get over it is the common phrase. What's the importance for the victims of a full and complete release of the Epstein files?
Yeah, this is really critical for a few reasons. The first is that the survivors want to see the perpetrators of these crimes to be held accountable. And the only way to do that, because it seems like DOJ is not willing to actually move forward with investigations of the many credible leads we've seen from, you know, some of the files that have been released. So for one, for the survivors, releasing all of the files could bring about accountability for those who have perpetrated harm against them. So that's the first reason why it's really important. The second is that it's really invalidating, right, and harmful for this mass cover-up that's going on to happen to survivors. Because I'll give you one example. One survivor that we work with publicly, her name is Jess Michael, said that in the files that have been released, she has not been able to find her 302 form. Now, that's an official report used by FBI agents to summarize witness interviews. Now, Jess and all of the other survivors that were at Pam Bondi's hearing said that they have met, they have tried repeatedly to meet with this administration's DOJ, but they all did come forward to try to report to the FBI when Jeffrey Epstein was arrested. And yet some of them still can't find the files that validate the fact that they did come forward, that they did try to report, try to get justice for what they experienced. So it's really kind of a maddening experience to kind of be gaslit into thinking that their experiences were not valid, that they didn't happen, that they don't deserve justice. So that's why it's so critical for all of the files to be released.
And it's not like Bondi's DOJ is understaffed like so many other Trump administration agencies. Over 500 lawyers. That was one of the questions that she avoided, actually. You have 500 attorneys, Attorney General Bondi. Why did they make so many mistakes of not redacting information about the victims and redacting information to protect those who perpetrated the crimes?
Yeah. No, that's a critical question. And I honestly think that the idea that they are just understaffed is really not a legitimate excuse, right? Because exactly of what you just said, Chris, that we are seeing that the names of the perpetrators and potential co-conspirators and sex buyers are being redacted. They are they are purposefully being protected by the attorneys who are going through the redactions, at whose order, right? We don't exactly know, while the identifying information of survivors is being exposed. So what it feels like to us and the survivors at large is that this is very intentional, and this is meant to frighten and intimidate them into stopping their advocacy. But what we've heard from them is that it's only emboldening them further and making them want to fight harder.
And I think Bondi made it crystal clear who she's working for, and it's not the cause of the victims or to fight crime as a top priority, not even close. We're talking with Dahlia Edden-Locke, who is Policy and Education Manager of World Without Exploitation. Website is worldwithoutexploitation.org. We have a link at our homepage as well. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. What is World Without Exploitation doing to bring about a full file release? Because I think we all thought, and if you look at the Jeffrey Epstein Files Act, as far as federal legislation goes, it's brief, 7 pages. It can't be any more clear. This, when this becomes law, DOJ has 30 days to put up or explain why. And they have failed the ball. They dropped the ball. They failed to comply. The Pam Bondi DOJ is currently breaking the law. You can't classify it any other way but that.
That's absolutely right. They are. So what World Without Exploitation has been doing is working with the survivors of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell to organize them and to get them in front of government officials and politicians to strategize about how we can put pressure on the DOJ, on the Attorney General, and on this current administration that's clearly perpetrating a cover-up of these crimes. So we're trying to organize politically to put pressure to release all of the files. But we've also actually recently worked with Senator Schumer of New York and Congresswoman Ledger Fernandez of New Mexico to introduce Virginia's law, which would end the statute of limitations for sex trafficking victims at the federal level. So this would enable more trafficking victims, including some of the survivors, go after their perpetrators and receive justice. So we're trying different avenues here, but we've definitely got a long road ahead, but we're ready for it.
It sounds very similar to what the victims of sexual abuse and rape by priests did, and states responded by extending the statute of limitations for those victims to go after the Catholic Church, as we've seen in state after state over the past decade.
Yeah, I mean, ending the statute of limitations is really critical because there should not be a time limit on justice for survivors. And we know how hard it is for survivors to come forward. There's so much shame and stigma around experiencing sexual violence. So it's critical that we let survivors seek justice on their own time.
And for you listening, just so you understand the difference, human trafficking is not, it's not moving people around. It's more of an enslavement of somebody for forced labor, sex trafficking. It's not just women. Men and boys are almost equal, according to stats from the United Nations International Labor Organization, are almost equal as potential victims for human trafficking. What is it that's, because as you've said, you are with victims of trafficking. What is it the person listening right now needs to better understand? I mean, we get into the politics, and the more we get back and forth in politics on this issue, that takes the attention away from the victims. What does someone need to really understand about a victim of trafficking?
Yeah, that's a critical question, Chris, because what we need to understand is the federal definition of sex trafficking in the United States is the use of force, fraud, and coercion to get someone to engage in a commercial sex act. And, you know, it's easier for us or the public to imagine what force or fraud can look like, right? We think about for force, someone being physically forced to do something. Maybe their hands are tied or they're locked in a room, right? This is actually not the most common way that sex trafficking is perpetrated. Usually what we're seeing is someone is trafficked through coercion, right? And coercion is something that's really hard to picture, to understand, and to grasp with, right? So what it often looks like is grooming. In the case of for the Epstein and Maxwell victims, right, we're talking about the grooming often of children, of minors, right, who are purposely sought after by traffickers and sex buyers because they're easier to manipulate. They're just younger. And also the psychological manipulation that goes into trafficking someone. We have heard survivor of Epstein, Danny Bensky, say that when she was first introduced to Epstein, her mom had a brain tumor, and Epstein told her, I have access to the best doctors, I can get her the treatment that she needs. And then once time went on and Danny complied with what he was compelling her to do, he was able to use that as a threat against her. You know, I have access to all of these medical officials, right? I can decide whether or not your mom gets the treatment that she needs. And we've heard from many survivors that Epstein would constantly flaunt his connections to powerful people purposefully to make them scared to speak out.
Wow. That's, but thankfully, and in spite of the reactions we saw with Pam Bondi and others in the Trump administration and their supporters as well who want to deny that the victims have a just cause, it's through the work of your organization, Diane. You do have the 2026 World Exploitation Conference coming up in D.C. June 7th right. through the 9th. Again, everything that could be done to raise awareness of the issue is really the strongest way to get a solution to the issue. There's human trafficking in every single state. Again, the person listening might be thinking, oh, human trafficking, that's the stuff that happens over in the Philippines or in Asia or over there. No, it's wherever you are listening right now on radio, on the podcast, it is where you are. Every single state in America, hundreds of victims minimum every single month. And what World Exploitation does, when you go to the website, you'll see this. They have the information, the facts, the reality. They have outlets for people who are trapped in this darkness to see that there is escape, and they're deserving of a life that they can call their own with strength and pride, happiness and joy, and a way to get back to that. And any way that you can help as someone with a heart who cares about victims of human trafficking, you can find outlets there as well where you can answer and respond in that way. Your starting point, worldexploitation.org. And she is their policy and education manager with World Without Exploitation, Dalia Adinin-Locke. Thanks so much for helping us understand and appreciate the victims in all this, because that's what they need to know, that there are people there with them. They're not alone. You're standing with them. And I think when your word comes out, more people stand with those victims as well. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Chris.